The content of this show is subject to contain sensitive language and explicit content intended for mature audiences only. Thank you so much for being here with us for season four. We
No,
jumped
it's not.
ahead on timelines. Kind of hoping that we'd get a nice little end of the world after that. But
But like live, laugh, toaster bath.
I've considered slipping into a bathtub while blow drying my hair.
Delulu is the Salulu.
Back in May, we partnered with an incredibly unique small business called Aware Causes, and that's spelled out AwareCauses, which is also their Instagram handle. To provide our listeners with the largest discount code they have to offer, their website is www.awarecauses.com. That's www.awarecauses.com. Enter their code NOTALONE30, and that's NOTALONE30 at checkout to receive 30% off your entire purchase. On their website, you can find an assortment of jewelry and apparel that mainly brings awareness to mental health disorders. Also, the company now offers custom engraved necklaces, so check out their website to shop jewelry and apparel with a cause. And again, that's www.awarecauses.com. Enter the discount code NOTALONE30, NOTALONE30. At checkout and receive 30% off your entire purchase. While you're on their website, scroll down to the bottom of their homepage, enter your email to sign up for newsletters to receive updates on new items, different designs that they've custom engraved for other customers, and any new deals they may have to offer. Thank you so much for being here with us for episode four of season two. And I just want to put this on record and say that I actually remembered what day we were filming, and I was kicked out of ISIS for not dropping bombs this week. I did, however, have to pray for my will to live before doing so, and that prayer has never been answered in my 29 years of living, and I've still managed to get this far. I am not by any means insinuating that I am a good example of somebody who has managed to survive without finding their will to live. In fact, I think it's beyond clear that I am the epitome of the worst possible example of surviving in this world without the will to live.
I mean, technically, we never said we'd be good examples to people. We just said we'd talk about mental health, and instead, we're kind of exhibiting it for everybody to see. I feel like that's very helpful.
Which I guess truly just justifies our relevance to the show, honestly. Honestly, I usually am really satisfied with myself at the times that I have to reach so far up my butthole to pull out an episode at last minute when I finally buckle down. I'm pretty satisfied. I am always full of shit, literally and figuratively. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that in the past, what I've been capable of pulling out of my butthole for the podcast episode outlines usually satisfied me. I would even go as to fa as far, excuse me, as to say I'm usually pretty impressed with myself and what I accomplish after many days of task avoidance and bullshit excuses as to why I wait till the very last second to try to produce something I feel is actually worth talking about. Honestly, that was not the case when it came to our last episode. Obviously, I get the pleasure of watching our episodes probably more times than the amount of downloads and views we ever get on an episode because I'm the one editing them together, which in turn means I have the opportunity to pick apart every single aspect of every single episode. And I mean, I knew what role I was playing when we started this show. So I, you know, I'm not surprised that I have to do this by any means, but I do see the annoying and stupid shit that I say more than 3 million times over and over. And I discuss myself solely for the things I see myself doing and hear myself saying during our episodes. And that does not even account for the ways I discuss myself outside of our podcast. I am no stranger to the fact that I lose my train of thought right as the words are coming out of my mouth. I know I make very distinctive grammatical errors quite often when I'm speaking, and I know there are many times I simply cannot find the words to complete a competent sentence. If you watched the blooper edits for the last episode that I put together, those are legitimate representations as to who I truly am as a person. And it's kind of obvious I'm not here to be your English teacher, so pardon my sometimes many grammatical errors, but just move along because my grammatical errors are far beyond the importance of the messages I'm here to deliver or awareness that I'm here to spread. And I do want to also put this on record. I flourished in English in every single grade, and English 1 and English 2 in college. My college professor actually told me that I was a very good writer, you know, which, and I love writing, but speaking, my brain and my mouth are not on the same page. My brain can type it. My brain cannot control my mouth to say what I'm reading because I have no excuse, especially when I'm spending time to shit out an outline. Obviously, not every conversation that we have or everything that we discuss is placed word for word in our outlines, but I am such a visual person that I do have to put most of what I'm saying to discuss into the outline so that I try not to lose my train of thought as often, or so that I don't trail off into another universe, even though regardless, it's very clear that I still do that. Aside from all of those things, I'm just overall, not really impressed with our last episode. And Tori, like I said last episode, nothing to do with you. Cannot place any blame for that on you. It has everything to do with me. I must have been so constipated that what I wasn't even able to reach in and pull out was really what I needed to piece together for a show worth the time that you barely have to begin with. I do, however, strongly believe that the information you researched and shared during our last episode was 100% the most crucial points we needed to drive home, because we have discussed that very same topic before, and I know we both feel this is a topic that we absolutely will never not discuss and won't continue to provide resources for.
You know, I kind of thought that a little bit at first, but then I felt like our last two episodes were hard-hitting in a way that it showed our listeners that anyone and everyone has a busy schedule, and we are not immune to that, and that we were just real, we were raw, and I'm really proud of that aspect of it, because I think everybody needs to see, wow, they're doing this, but they also have a life that just goes off the rails all of the time. And I think that was good for our listeners.
As long as one of us can come out feeling that way as we continue this process, then it's worth it, especially you out of all people, considering how much I respect your time and your schedule. But the fact of the matter is, not every single episode that we piece together is going to be as good as we thought it was going to be. Sometimes the analytics that I see from the engagement of certain episodes are really going to disappoint me. When it came down to the very last second of preparation for season two, I did have my hesitations on whether or not we allowed ourselves enough time to prepare for season two and launch a new season that would actually blow last season out of the water. Especially considering season two, the air date, crashed into us like I wish a train would crash into me. I did consider extending our break, but I reminded myself that I did spend time investing myself into the preparation of season two. In many ways, I simply just failed to put my preparation into a visual aspect. And extending the release date would have only allowed me more time to drop the amount of balls from at least five different Walmart ball pits. And as previously discussed, we'd lose credibility, consistency, while also potentially losing individuals from our current following, as well as losing the potential to continue to grow our platform and reach a larger following. I'll admit I even plan to implement some new strategies into season two as far as editing goes, and I didn't even implement them until the last episode we put out. Also, it was either episode one or episode two, I can't remember, of this season that I uploaded everything Wednesday, the night before the air date, scheduled the premiere of the episode for Thursday, and completely forgot to add the intro to our episode. I kid you not, I shot out of bed as
I'm
quickly
sorry.
as possible. It is quite funny. I shot out of bed as quickly as possible because all I could think of is, oh my Lord, what did I do? And I had to literally delete all of the uploads from all of our platforms after even seeing 10 people already viewed it straight from the source of YouTube. And that killed me to the core. I will never be flawless. I will never even become a fourth of a percent close to flawless, but I will always find a way to figure it the F-bomb out as best I can, even if my best is incredibly insignificant as it gets, actually. Also, let's be honest, when somebody chooses to make content and post it publicly, there are always going to be people judging from beginning to end. Even the people that you expect to be cheering from your side of the court, with zero doubt in my mind, I am certain that at the very beginning of our podcast, there were people who claimed to be close in our corners that said something along the lines of, "Did you see Selena and Tori are doing a podcast?" Then followed by criticizing us down to the core. Online, I see comments from content creators post saying I would never do this in the sense that what they found the content to be was stupid or whatever. The fact of the matter is that just because you wouldn't do something does not make it a valid reason as to why others can't. Not a single person could be any more critical of me than I already am to myself. So that's where I have to remind myself to stop investing so much energy into that kind of negativity, whether from myself or from others. I will never be flawless, like I said. So what you see is what you get.
I honestly have to disagree because I am flawless, and I know that that's really hard for you, but you can just.
I can't honestly say that every blooper edit I do, I am the one screwing up while you're sitting there laughing at me. So.
I'm sorry, I am so bad. It's just so funny, and I need this comedic relief, and you are my comedic relief. So you're not you are flawless in being my comedic relief.
I'm just validating the fact that you really are essentially the most flawless it gets in my mind. I am
Thank
hopeful.
you.
You're so welcome. I am hopeful, though, that this episode will at least meet my own expectations. And when I say my own, I simply say that because my own expectations are considerably low. I don't even think there's a scale low enough. In the first episode of this season, I did mention that I reached out on public platforms, explaining the meat and bones of our podcast and gathered topics that aligned with the context of our show. And now that I've kicked my ass into gear, I am piecing those topics together into a solid plan for season two's episodes. What I have prepared to discuss in today's episode actually did hit me a lot harder than I thought it would. The topic we're about to dive into led me down a path of unpacking things that have brought me a lot of really gross, raw emotions and impacted me pretty heavily. At this moment, I really have no idea if my emotional personality or my emotionless personality, which I prefer, will join us. There even may be another form of creature buried deep within me that makes a surprise guest appearance. But before we do jump into this topic and the segments of this episode, let's hear Tori's voice again for a moment. Tori, tell me about your life in the last 2 weeks.
Well, I kind of gave you a little bit of insight into my, sitcom. I am so tired. But we've been really busy throwing our lives into the full swing of school and athletics. And Ian has been having a blast showing our 12-year-old the ropes of being a lineman. And he's been doing phenomenal. We could not be more proud. He's into football this year, doing amazing. And our 7-year-old just started second grade and has been impressing us with all of her hard work. And she's already getting all of these little, I wouldn't really call them awards, but they're these little things they can get every day for her good listening and her dedication to school and just how much she's pushing herself already. And it's like day 10 of school. Our 3-year-old just started pre-K and I'm not okay with that because that's my baby, my last one. We were very worried because she's a strong-willed child and she's been doing amazing as well. I mean, I've gotten messages from teachers and some people that I know that are there and that she's been so good listening, following the rules. And it very much did surprise me because she's our wild child. But I also just finished my other degree that I've been working tirelessly at. So that was very exciting for me. My husband is about 8 classes away from obtaining a degree for himself. And we're just busy and we're tired, but we're proud. And that is all I can say. And we're happy and healthy. So what's up with you, Selena?
I do want to say that I am incredibly happy for everything that you've had coming to you to this point outside of the sitcom you told me about earlier. You have a lot of really exciting things going on and on the horizons for you and your family. And I am very proud of your children because that is a direct reflection of you as a parent, of course.
Thank you.
What's going on with me is that I reached into the pit of the unknown within my body and found absolutely nothing new to share with you today.
But you've had no like mental breakdowns lately, so that's an accomplishment.
I wouldn't go as far as claiming that to be truthful by any means. I, in fact, did spend a lot of time alone with my intrusive thoughts and did not act on them. Therefore, that's pretty damn unproductive of me.
Darn it, Selena. We had so much faith in you.
I know. As somebody that has been diagnosed with ADHD, complex PTSD, bipolar disorder, many other things that really aren't as relevant, I've lived my life with this constant amount of guilt, pressure, feeling of worthlessness, despair, and all things related. Because I have experienced those feelings so intensely in my life, I have beat the absolute shit out of myself. I am essentially both the Chris Brown and Rihanna in this example, just to help you put this into perspective. The insane amount of pressure that I have put on myself has made it incredibly difficult for me to allow myself to ever be satisfied with just about anything that I do. I never feel like I'm good enough in many different forms. The work that I do is never good enough, and the thought of failing at something or being a failure absolutely horrifies me to my core. Due to the lack of knowledge and studies relating to ADHD and the ways that the disorder can present differently depending on gender, age, and many other factors, I wholeheartedly stand on the fact that going undiagnosed for so many years did impact my ability to be as successful as I so badly wanted to be academically. I tore myself apart and could not understand why I struggled in school from beginning to end. My lack of academic success has always weighed so heavily on me, even to this day. For this exact reason, I feared that I would never be successful at anything, which included my career. The fear of never being successful, satisfied with anything that I did, and being a failure drove me right into representing myself as an incredibly high functioning in a professional setting. To many, this can sound like it benefited me rather than held me back. The truth is that forcing myself to be in this high functioning mode was simply a coping mechanism, and I was masking my mental illnesses in order to achieve what I believe to be the definition of success. I worked so hard to suppress my mental illnesses because I could not fathom the thought of my mental health holding me back from being successful. Every single day I tortured myself into believing that if people knew about what was going on in my brain and my mental illnesses, not only would that prevent me from opportunities, it would also allow the room for judgment of others and discredit what I was truly capable of.
You know, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, but late diagnosis leads to this, and it's so frustrating. You weren't and aren't incapable. You were just undiagnosed. So many people live this way, and I'm happy that we're bringing awareness to it so that we can allow people to be comfortable with themselves. But I almost feel like that was not the entire issue, but very much so a big part of it.
I completely agree. And I put all of my energy into hiding behind this disguise of myself and suppressing what was truly going on in my brain every single day for many years, only for the day to end, leaving me with absolutely zero energy to invest into anything more than my job. I was able to successfully keep this mask up and operate this way for several years. I'm sure at this point, those of you that are watching or listening to this episode know exactly what the outcome of the story is going to be, in the way that I'm sure several of us are able to guess the outcome of any horror film ever, if you love horror films as much as I do, at least. I am absolutely positive that this will not come as a shock to anyone. So here is that non-existent kicker to this story. After all of those years of neglecting my mental illnesses and forcing myself into this high-functioning coping mechanism led me straight into what seemed like a spiral into another dimension. One of the things I remember so vividly is telling friends of mine that I was going off the rails. I made this statement over and over, but expressed it in a very joking manner. I just remember having this overwhelming feeling unlike anything I had experienced up to that point. I truly felt like I was, in fact, going to go off the rails, but I never could have imagined what that really meant for me and that the outcome would change the entire course of my life. I legitimately lost my shit. If you look up the definition of losing my shit, there, that is that situation, boom, right there. It was a lot like ignoring a check engine light on your car for many years and the engine finally exploding, yet pretending not to understand what could have possibly led to that explosion. It is a proven fact that exactly what I experienced can leave a lifelong effect on your mental well-being and actually bring on a completely new kind of trauma, which is just what I needed to pile on top of the load of issues I already had been neglecting, exactly as I had been neglecting to fold my laundry then, straight to present day.
I swear, as soon as we start neglecting those basic everyday chores, and I'm not saying like, oh, skipping it one day, but legitimately neglecting them, it's a red flag. It is your check engine light.
Mm-hmm. The hardest part about going through that experience is that almost everything I feared would happen actually did happen, many of which I have not yet been able to heal from or cope with after many years have gone by. I do wish with every ounce of my being that I could close this up with some sort of shocking twist of events and provide some incredible and inspiring advice straight from my own experience to anyone that is also experiencing or has experienced anything remotely similar. As I sat down and outlined my portion of this episode, I still felt the pain, the heartache, and thought about what I could have or should have done differently. And as I sit here today sharing this story, it truly does not hurt any less than it did all those years ago. I left many doors open with the hope of proper closure when in fact no closure was my closure, and I needed to have accepted that and moved on a long time ago. But I will in fact be able to close those doors knowing that I made more than enough of an effort into seeking proper closure in the most respectful ways. I do go back and forth on being thankful for the opportunities I've been given and the people I've had the pleasure of crossing paths with, but I do not believe I would have ever been given those opportunities or built those relationships had I not worn that mask for so many years. At the same time, if I hadn't neglected my mental health and well-being all those years, I may have been able to sit here and give you a better ending to this story. I have never been able to fight through those what-ifs of my own experience. I so often grieve the life I thought I'd have and the friendships I built and felt dead certain they'd be lifelong friendships. As I sit here today, it kills me to the core to admit that those things no longer exist. I do, for the record, want to be very, very clear on the fact that I hold absolutely zero grudges, place blame on, nor am I here to disrespect or tear down anyone's character. I have absolutely spoken to people I've considered friends of mine about my experience and the impact it had on me personally. My feelings were then and still are incredibly valid. The very importance of why I make that statement is because perspective is very important here as I speak on this publicly. These things alone should go without saying. My direct perspective and the feelings brought on by any situation, no matter what the circumstance, are mine and only mine. I can only speak the full truth of my direct perspective and the impact that any given situation has had on me directly. Understanding that all parties directly involved have their own perspective and valid feelings towards the situation is crucial. I would absolutely never invalidate another person's feelings, regardless of my own feelings. Not a single person that was directly involved or indirectly involved just based on the circumstances took a walk in my shoes while I was going through hands down the darkest moments of my life to this date. Therefore, I do not have to hold back on my truth. It should be understood that anything that those that were not directly involved with, but also discussing the same situation can most likely be misconceiving either intentionally or unintentionally, depending on where they stand as a matter of their own opinion or the person they're talking to in that moment. Those are just facts based on sociology, which is in fact a class I did take in college. And to close off the opportunity for anybody to discredit me here, I did pass. If a single person takes any part of what I'm about to talk about today in a disrespectful manner after everything I clarify out of the respect of others that I am not obligated by any means to clarify, this is absolutely not a me problem, and I cannot stress that enough. My life and years of hard work, and I simply just cannot put enough expression into this statement, shattered into pieces that could never be put back together, even if I knew where every single one of those pieces went. There is not an ounce of me that is trying to sound dramatic here. It was almost as though that life only existed in another universe. My sense of security that I had worked tirelessly, to build vanished immediately. From that point, I thought I lost so much of myself, when in reality, I only lost who I thought I needed to be. I do believe that to be a true statement. By believing that statement to be true, I should also be able to reframe those negative thoughts and the pain that I feel and how hard I am on myself. I have yet to be able to do that. I don't know how long it will take for me or if I will ever get to that point, because this has just so happened to be a very common but unintentional topic of many of my therapy sessions. There are a couple other points I need to make very clear. I am fully capable of putting all of this into a perspective that the past is the past, and nothing I do or say today, tomorrow, or 5 years from now will change the outcome. It is absolutely not a matter of being incapable of letting go of the past. It is also not a matter of being incapable of simply just moving on. It has everything to do with my inability to forgive myself and stop dwelling on things I feel I could have done differently. Being incapable of believing that what I once had was not meant to last forever. Not being able to understand why I lost so much control and why I couldn't pull myself out of that spiral before the life I worked so hard to maintain slipped right through my fingers. Every single day, I make an effort to put my faith into the hands of the universe and trust that everything does, in fact, happen for a reason, and what's truly meant to be will be. But I would be lying if I sat here and said that I have fully accepted that.
You know, we've talked about this many times, and I just have to say, you are so strong, and you have gotten through things that I could not even imagine going through, and I just love you for that. But one thing I like to live my life by is that nothing really matters if it doesn't bring you happiness, which is difficult when you are depressed, and many things don't bring you happiness no matter how hard you try, which is why sometimes I think we just prefer to be delusional, and that that works for us. That is our happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mental health stigma in the workplace is just as present now as it almost always has been, as the very massive amount of individuals that went undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and mistreated for nearly a lifetime do actually start receiving the proper treatments and understanding of their illnesses, studies will continue to show a larger amount of individuals impacted by mental illnesses, obviously. It's a simple matter of cause and effect. We have seen some companies take steps in decreasing mental health stigma in the workplace. I have seen job descriptions clearly list mental health care benefits in their benefits description, and that is a significant movement for any company to take. Unfortunately, the amount of times that I have actually seen that listed on a job description is far too rare for me to even put a number on it. I witnessed firsthand how the stigma still impacts workplaces. I sat at a table full of a group of very intelligent people that I still respect to this day, who were fully aware of the laws against discriminating against individuals impacted by mental illness, still, but not on record, justify their decisions to not only hire individuals that openly discuss their struggles with mental illness, but also justify their decision not to promote individuals for the same exact reason. I'd be a complete hypocrite and a liar if I didn't admit that I allowed those very same things to sway my decision as well. Even as somebody that can sit here on a platform I've built solely dedicated to playing my part in breaking the stigma, being an outlet for others, offering validation, spreading awareness, and attempting to make a conscious effort to talk about the more difficult topics that don't get talked about enough, I both consciously and unconsciously played a role in the mental health stigma in the workplace. I could continue to expand on all of that, but in the end, it's not worth it, and I'm going to circle back around before I lose complete relevance. Stemming way back from high school to adulthood, I struggled with something in one of the most severe forms that one could possibly struggle with, and I have yet to actually fully overcome this today, but I can't come even close to being able to explain it in a way that would make sense. However, I reached a point in my life where I could no longer suffer in silence without attempting to find a way to make this easier for me. I truly had no other option but to confide in my direct manager at that time and tried my best to express what I was struggling with while also coming prepared with absolutely reasonable solutions on how to make what I had been struggling with the slightest bit easier for me to overcome. I went well out of my way without ever being asked to place myself in situations that would typically make me uncomfortable. In effort to challenge my anxiety and attempt to make it easier for me as I forced myself into those uncomfortable situations more and more. It was a very relieving moment when my manager reacted in a way that did help me make this struggle easier for me with the solutions that I brought to the table. Then it came time for my yearly review. And that very same manager completely disregarded the fact that what I had confided in them was a struggle directly related to very serious mental health struggles, disregarded my several ongoing efforts to overcome this challenge on my own, placed it in my yearly review in the things I need to work on scoring section. My reviews were always extraordinary, and I prided myself on that. At the same time, I knew both then and still know now that there is always going to be things someone can continue to work on both professionally and personally. That is something I have always completely understood, and feedback I never disagreed with in any aspect. When I read that very specific thing on my performance review, which of course was documented in my personnel files, I was shook to the core. I held my composure during the review, and to this day, I know I was only able to hold my composure because it came as a complete shock to me. I hadn't even had time to process what I was presented with in that moment. As soon as I did go back to my desk and processed it, I started hysterically crying because something that was so personal was used to score against me in my performance review. I never spoke up about how I felt, and to this day, I fully do regret not doing so because it was beyond inappropriate. The following things I want to point out solely for the purpose that it is extremely important to self-reflect in the way that you present yourself both personally and professionally, with more emphasis on the professional aspect, especially if you maintain a leadership type role and are supposed to set a good example for others. My intentions here are not to disrespect or discredit their abilities as a manager. Regardless of the things I'm about to say, this manager had an incredible amount of managerial skills under their belt that aided in my professional growth. They also did provide me with many opportunities that to this day I am very thankful for. The reason I did not speak up about such a personal mental health related struggle counting against me in my performance review, after I did have time to process and understand that it never should have been documented, was because this manager was the least sensitive or empathetic manager I had ever had in my entire life. They were always playing devil's advocate in incredibly unnecessary situations. And I did know them both personally and professionally well enough to be absolutely certain they'd see it as another opportunity to do just that, or another thing to use against me by labeling it as pushback or the need for me to accepting constructive criticism or constructive feedback on my next review. Unfortunately, that wasn't the end of exactly what I had feared would happen by taking my mask off and expressing even the slightest bit of struggle in a specific area. I was up for a promotion along with some incredibly qualified and outstanding peers of mine. And during my interview, that very same manager brought up that very same struggle in a way that they were insinuating it may hold me back if given this promotion, or that because I struggled with such, I may not be able to successfully carry out the responsibilities required of me with said promotion. As I relive these moments in my head as the person I am today, I am so disappointed in myself for allowing that to ever happen without pointing out something like that should absolutely never be counted against anyone, period. I felt defeated and like I had done nothing but shoot myself in my own foot. I did not shoot myself in the foot. That manager had absolutely no right to do what they did. It taught me a very important lesson, just as many of my experiences have. The very same lesson we've preached time and time again. Advocate for yourself regardless of the circumstance. Stand behind yourself and what you know is appropriate. Regardless of being chemically imbalanced, our brains can still determine right from wrong.
I agree completely, and your situation is so touching to me in a way because I had a very similar situation in a previous job, which is hard to talk about. And so bringing this up today, it is like reliving every single moment of what we went through years ago. And in my similar experience working in my previous job, I was also throwing myself into the work. I wanted it to be perfect. That is how both of us have always been. We want something to be exactly the correct, perfect way. We want everybody to see that, yes, we did this in a way that we wanted it to be perfect for others. And in throwing myself into this work and getting zero help from anyone, I did not realize how bad my mental health was suffering. Unfortunately, this place was very toxic and did not care about mental health at all. There was no help in that aspect of any type of struggle. And after 5 years of being in that position where I was constantly degraded and yelled at and unappreciated at this career, I quit. And I had gone to college and gotten a degree in this specific career path. And it was so just heartbreaking for me for something that I really, really just was passionate about and wanted to do that I had to leave it behind because of what had happened in a completely toxic work environment that may not have happened had I worked somewhere else with the same exact degree. But when I quit, there was actually quite a few people that quit as well. And I did not push these people to quit. However, I know a lot of changes did happen in the time frame where a lot of us did leave this company. And I was so much happier. It was relieving. I was so stressed. I couldn't even eat. I had lost a ton of weight. I had had a newborn in this mix, COVID in this mix. It was just something that was so hard. And I know that it was also hard on these people as well. And for that, I'm just so happy for them. But it was hard. And I wonder to this day if I made the right decision. But then I think back and I remember I had a newborn and I had a 3-year-old at the time as well. And I would hear her crying in the middle of the night, and all I could think as in this rush of getting up to check on my newborn, I just have to get her the file and she'll be okay. I just have to get this done for her and she'll be okay because my brain was so stuck at work that in the middle of the night, my crying newborn was making me think about work. And that was just one of the reasons why I knew I had to leave this job. even if I loved what I was doing. Like you, I had a review. And before this review, I had reached out to my superior and explained that somebody who was in the same position as I was not very helpful, refusing to take phone calls and the whole thing, just not helping. And I reached out in a very professional way, documented it in an email, carbon copied many other people in on it that were also superiors. And about a month later, I had my review. I was pulled in to a meeting room where I was yelled at and degraded for 20 minutes. And when I say yelled at and degraded, I was sitting there in shock while grown adults were yelling at me for trying to steal somebody else's job and get them fired. When I had simply reached out and asked for some help because I was struggling mentally, physically, even because of my mental health. And it was so hard on me. And I was trying to stay late. I wasn't spending time with my family. I was just treading water at that point. My relationship with my husband was starting to deteriorate. I didn't even want to speak to him about work because he would become so upset with how I was treated. I pushed him away terribly. And for that, I feel so awful. But he was amazing. And he's just awesome. And he stuck by my side. When I resigned from this position, we worked through everything, which was stemming from this horrific, toxic work environment. And I can happily say, I will never allow myself to be treated that way ever again. And much like you in that situation, I did not speak up for myself. And I was in shock. I was afraid. And I was already having this one thing happen to me. How am I supposed to stand up for myself? But despite all of that, and despite my self-worth being diminished and my anxiety and depression being escalated, I realized I did the right thing. And sometimes we really do just need to quit. Quit, start over, no matter how scary it may be, because we don't realize until further on in the future how much that could and did benefit us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make some very solid points about quitting and starting over, but fearing that, is that really the answer? And when you do quit after something so serious and traumatic happening, you fear for quite a long time, did I make the right decision? What more could I have done to better the situation? And you place more blame on yourself than you do on the situation that should have never happened, or situations that should have never happened to begin with.
Yeah, I agree completely. And again, just like you, I did appreciate this place for giving me so many opportunities. It was just a situation that was so hard to be in.
Mm-hmm. Now, bipolar, complex, PTSD, and ADHD are most definitely not the only mental health disorders that can overwhelm someone in the ways that we've discussed today. There are many other disorders that an individual may struggle with and force them into the high-functioning mode as a coping mechanism. Many diagnoses can be harder to detect directly due to the relation to academic or career success by masking. Autism, performance or social anxiety, and borderline personality disorders are just a few of the other disorders that quite often go undetected due to an individual displaying high functioning behavior. I want to make this very clear, if I haven't already, being high functioning is not a compliment. Masking your illnesses can and most likely will have a very detrimental outcome. Mm-hmm. The effects of years from masking can and again most likely will cause you to hit a breaking point that can potentially destroy you. It's incredibly common for a career to be prioritized over one's mental health, and the result can impact you for the rest of your life. Grind culture might work for some, but it should never be glorified in a way that everyone is capable of grinding day in and day out, and that the benefits outweigh the negative effects. just as much as prioritizing your career over your mental health can be detrimental to you as a person, just as Tori mentioned in her own experience, it is very often detrimental to your personal relationships. My personal experiences did not stem from just one job, but the effects of many experiences have literally impacted me in unimaginable ways. I still have the very same fears as I always have. I have a much harder time making connections professionally. I am more closed off professionally than I ever have been. My fear of being judged for just about anything in the aspect of a career or anything similar to that has amplified. I have a very hard time trusting that people actually believe in me and what I am capable of professionally. These memories I made with the relationships I built no longer exist, and that still brings me an immense amount of pain and sadness. As previously stated, my story does not have a happy ending, and if this reaches anyone that is experiencing similar to or the very same things that Tori and I have gone through, please let our stories help you help yourself before it's too late.
It's so hard dealing with these things sometimes and feeling that you've been backed into a corner. And I think that's one thing about being high functioning is that you feel that you can't be backed into a corner. If you're backed into a corner, you're doing it wrong. And that's so difficult for some people to understand, especially when you do have any type of high functioning mode. My high functioning mode definitely had many negative side effects, and I won't disagree with that. But there's a huge difference between being a hard, determined worker and throwing your life away for a job that just is not fulfilling and is just deteriorating, your mental health significantly. It doesn't mean that you're lazy. It doesn't mean that you're not trying hard enough. It just means that you have self-worth and that you understand you don't deserve to be treated a certain way.
Yeah. And to summarize this topic up, being high functioning at work can leave you feeling emotionally numb to the point where you feel a major crash either a few hours before your shift ends or by the time the end of your shift comes around. It can leave you feeling lonely but too exhausted to engage with others. You can lack the energy to engage in social activities, and when you do, you never really enjoy them. This happens because your nervous system is in a functional freeze response. Regardless of having the ability to maintain a daily routine before work and at work, you can feel simply exhausted inside. And I don't even think the word exhausted covers it. Mm-hmm. You can feel the need to self-isolate and you constantly feel overwhelmed. This can cause you to frequently disassociate. You are able to handle your tasks, but crash afterwards. You can go from being hyper-productive during the day, hardly leaving you with nearly enough energy to maintain your lifestyle beyond that. Your nervous system gets stuck in a flight or fight mode during the day, which in turn uses up nearly all of your energy. Therefore, you crash into a freeze response at night. I have both personally talked to many people and seen people open up online struggling and relating to the very things we discussed on this episode today. I dedicated a very significant amount of my time and research to finding resources that show a variety of mental illnesses where it is common for individuals to cope by masking and represent as high functioning, resources relating to mental health stigma in the workplace and how individuals can assist in breaking the stigma, understanding what masking is and how to cope without masking your illnesses.
One thing that I love about our platform is the ability to give people the resources they need and also have our listeners relate to our accounts of mental health and toxic environments and understand that it is always okay to reach out and to seek help.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And if you've survived another day at war with your brain, you are superior. We are wishing you nothing but peace in your mind, your soul and another day of surviving until you can find your way of living.
And we will see all of you lunatics in 2 weeks on Trigger Warning Podcast. What's up with you, Shell?